Turn with me this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. And beginning in verse 1, let's hear the Word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." But when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only an hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the Scripture. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. This parable that Jesus taught doesn't really have anything to do with our modern-day labor situation. But there are things from this that we can learn that apply. From time to time, we hear stories of employees who are unhappy with their employers for whatever reason. I know it's hard to believe. People are always happy with their employers. You hear all the time of people that are stirred up, that there are disputes here and there. Our government, certain folks in government, are always trying to stir people up. They say, "Well, you got to raise the minimum wage, you got to do this thing, you got to do that thing." And there's always a great effort to make people discontent and to stir the pot, so to speak. Whenever there are negotiations between labor and management is almost always portrayed as some bad, greedy kind of a guy who is only in it for himself, and the laborer only wants a fair wage. How quickly is it? I mean, it's our human nature, though, to try and pluck splinters out of other people's eyes and ignore the logs that are in our own. They get into those kind of debates. The text, again, does not speak of the labor issues of today. It doesn't speak of labor relations, but we can find useful things here. The owner of this vineyard needed workers, so he went out to find some. We'll understand that he who owned the vineyard didn't put up a sign. And he didn't put an ad in the paper, or he didn't go to the internet and put on something on monster.com or something. He didn't advertise. He went out and he looked for employees. No one came to him looking for a job. No one came to him seeking employment. He went out and obtained laborers. He found some people to come and work in his field, and he agreed with them upon a wage. There was a harmony there. there was an accord in their agreement. The laborer came in and said, I will gladly do this for what it is you're presenting to give to me. And whatever the negotiation went on between these folks, at this stage in the game, everyone was happy. Happy, happy. And the new employees went to work. Now, one of the things they found out was when they got out into this field, there was a lot of work to be done. The fields were ready to be tilled and to be harvested and to be cared for. The grapes needed to be doctored in their own special way. And so the landowner, having first brought in some labor, said, you know what, it's not enough, we need more. And so in the parable, Jesus tells, the landowner goes out again at 9 o'clock and hires more. And then once again, he goes out at noon and draws in more. And he goes out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and he draws in more laborers. There is so much work to be done. And he brings the laborers in. And finally, he goes back out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, which is unheard of. You don't hire at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. 6 o'clock's the end of the workday. And yet, the landowner went out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon because he still needed laborers in his vineyard. And he went and he brought them in. Evening came, and it was time to be paid. And that was really according to Jewish law. I'll flip back there. You don't have to. Flip back to Deuteronomy chapter 24. I will get there. The 15th verse of chapter 24. The law says, let me start in 14. It says, you shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates. Each day you shall give him his wages, and not let the sun go down on it, for he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord, and it be sin to you. That was the law of Moses, that you be paid every day. Now, that's probably a CPA's nightmare to have that kind of a payroll situation. But that was the law that was set up. If you work today, you get paid today. And so Jesus in his story talks about the landowner bringing the laborers in and having them receive their day's wages. Now, he starts his paying with the last that were hired. The last people that came in get to be paid first. And, you know, if you happen to be one of the first people hired, that might bother you a little bit. But you sit back and you watch and you say, okay. But when they look to see these last laborers come in, they see that, you know what? They're being paid the same amount that I was hired for. They only worked an hour. But they're receiving the same wage. It's not fair. How can it possibly be? And those who we look at on this day had seniority. They begin to murmur and begin to complain. And one guy yells out, somebody get the union steward because I want to file a grievance. This ain't fair. It's not right. We've worked all day long, and these have only worked for an hour, and they're receiving the same pay. That kind of stirred up. You know, you can see that, well, you know what? I've been here all day. And of course, these last guys, they're getting the denarius. You know, I'll bet that landowner, he really has our best interest at heart. And we're going to get that denarius probably and a new car. Because we've been here all day long. We're going to get a little something extra. You know what? We'll get our denarius and maybe we'll get like a Burger King gift card. You know? We ought to get a little something extra. We've been working longer. We've been working harder. And when they received it, they complained against the landowner. They complained against him. They didn't have any work to begin with. But the landowner brought them in, gave them a job, and was paying them, and they're going to complain. The landowner answers, and he says to them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong." Where was the wrong? The work that you did was for exactly the pay that we agreed upon. When we got together this morning and I brought you into the vineyard, I said we would pay you this amount. You said, "That's good with me. Let's go to work." Where have I done you wrong? Because I paid these other men the same wage. How have I done you wrong? Nobody was cheated. And Jesus says in the 15th verse, quoting the landowner, he says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? Are you envious because I am good? Don't I have the right to do with what I want?" Don't we hear similar words in Romans when Paul is talking about the potter? Doesn't the potter have the right to make of the clay any kind of a vessel that he wants? And then to do with that vessel exactly whatever it is he wants? People who complain about the idea of limited atonement. That's one of their complaints. Everybody should be free to get whatever is available. But the Creator hasn't ordained it that way. The Creator says, "I've created some vessels for honor and some vessels for dishonor. Don't I have that right? I'm the Creator. Don't you have the right, if you sit at home with your little modeling clay, don't you have the right to make whatever it is you want? And if you don't happen to like what it is you make, you can smash it. It's yours. You have the right to do that." We can't complain and say, "God, you don't have the right." These men could not complain to the landowner and say, "You don't have the right." The landowner expressed grace to these people. He gave them opportunity and he gave them reward. Again, this passage is not discussing the workplace per se, but refers in effect to those who labor in the kingdom of God. The elect, regardless of when we're drawn to Christ, we're going to enjoy the same everlasting life. No one will get more life. We all have the same everlasting life to enjoy. When we are judged, well, we will receive rewards based upon our work. But no one is going to be cheated out of the life that is promised to them. As Christians, we are obligated to live our lives a little differently. And that means in the workplace as well. And while this passage does not deal specifically with the workplace, I want to talk a little bit about work and what we do. The Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, he wrote in the sixth chapter, he doesn't talk about employees and employers. He talks about bondservants and masters. But that's the That's what he's talking about. He's talking about our employee-employer relationship. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Slaves were owned property. Slaves could do nothing apart from the permission of the slave owner. Sometimes we go to our jobs and we feel like slaves. But at the end of our shift, we're allowed to go home. And we even have specified times off. Sometimes it's the weekends. Sometimes it's days during the week. We don't have to be under the thumb of the master that we labor for there. Slaves didn't have that choice. Employees contract either explicitly or implicitly to perform certain duties in exchange for a paycheck. My situation, I am self-employed. I have a contract with the company that I run for that says it's all about me as far as my expenses and that sort of thing. They provide nothing for me except they tell me what I need to pick up, where I need to deliver it. In a conventional employer relationship, the employer, you go in as an employee, the employer says, here's your job, go do it. Hopefully gives you some training or something. Paul's instruction to the Ephesians and to us is really, really, really counter to our natural tendencies. First, as an employee, we are to be obedient to our employer. There's that word again, obedient. I've been hearing it so much lately. I don't think that word means what we think it means. But it does. This word is hupako. If I can get it right, it's hupakuo. 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 We got it. Okay, hupakuo. It's the same instruction that's given to children regarding their parents. That word obedience. Yeah, it's from south of Greece, southern Greece, whatever. So you get the accent. If we're going to receive any blessing at all from God, we need to be obedient to Him. And to those who He puts in authority over us, whether it's in the workplace or in the church or in the home, wherever we are. Outside of our relationship to God, we don't just blindly obey. We are to be obedient, but we just don't blindly do these things. If your boss wants you to do something that's illegal or immoral, you can't do that. You can't be obedient in that situation. But under normal circumstances, in a normal relationship, then our obedience is required. Obviously, we can't go beyond the boundaries of what God's law says for us. It's the employer's job to determine what needs to be done and how to do it. We simply need to do what it is they tell us to do. Doesn't mean we can't say, you know what, boss? I think there's a better way to swing that sledgehammer. It's to get a machine to do it. You know? There's things that we can do to improve our situation. We can be godly servants in the workplace and provide help that ultimately benefits our boss. It all ultimately benefits the business by our suggestions. But it's his responsibility in the initial sense to tell us what it is that we need to do. We're told here that we need to respect our employers. We need to give them a proper respect and a proper reverence. And you know as well as I do that there are some people who are employers who that is a very difficult thing, to give them any respect at all. I worked for a fellow one time. I've told you this before. Yeah, he actually fired me twice. Yeah, because he really liked firing people. And I guess that was a really special case because he got to fire me twice. But, you know, there are some people that you just, how do you respect that? And yet, as a Christian in the workplace, we have an obligation to at least respect that position that he holds, position of employer or boss or wherever he is in the system that we are. We're not to grovel before him out of fear because he is ultimately not our provider. Yet we are to respect him. And what may be difficult to remember sometimes is that it is God in his providence that made that individual our boss. Maybe that happened for our benefit, and maybe that happened for their benefit. But ultimately, it happens for the glory of God, the situation that we're in. So we are to respect them. We are to have a sincerity in our work. We shouldn't be holding anything back. We should pour ourselves into our work. We should be good employees. We should be good workers, good laborers. We should be the guy that can be counted on. And whatever that involves. We are to be loyal to those who God has placed us in their employ. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but being the real deal. We're not doing right only when the boss is around, but having a genuine desire to see the work for the betterment for everybody that's concerned. Again, we work for God. Whatever your job is, whoever your employer is, whatever your position, if you're a dishwasher or you're a floor sweeper or if you're the vice president of the company, you work for God. And your labor is as unto the Lord. And sometimes that's pretty difficult. Sometimes that's easy for us to forget. But we need to be reminded that we put forth our best because we're Christians, because we bear the name of Christ. And we want to in no way bring a reproach upon him. With goodwill doing service, doing the will of God from the heart, having an attitude that we are truly serving God through good service to our employer. You know, years ago, I don't know if they still do it or not, but when you came into the school as a teacher, you know, a learning center person, whatever kind of thing. They used to make you do a pace called monkey business. Remember that? Way back when? And the monkey business pace taught you to take care of your own stuff. And if you started getting involved too much in other people's stuff, you were picking up their monkeys. And eventually, you could work them monkeys all the way up into a gorilla. You shouldn't be going around doing other people's responsibility. You shouldn't do their work. But in the course of your work, if you ultimately benefit your boss, you benefit the employer, you can do some things. You can be a little bit having some goodwill about what it is that you're doing. Having an attitude of providing a good service. Paul is rightly motivating the servant with the idea that there is going to be a reward for your labor. There is something to expect. You're not just getting put to the work with no benefit. Nothing good is going to come from it. There are rewards for our labor. The inference, of course, that he gives is to a heavenly reward. You know, you see, the things that we do in our workplace, wherever it is we work, it's not just for this temporal reward. We will receive heavenly rewards for the work that we do. That's part of our judgment. We're judged according to the good works or not so good works that we do. It's tried. And Paul says that. I mean, he's encouraging them. You're going to receive from the Lord. Our labor is not in vain. Although, I'll tell you what, sometimes it sure seems that way. Sometimes it seems like you're beating your head against the wall and receiving nothing. But we're encouraged. The scripture tells us our labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. We have something to look forward to. Paul spends most of his time in this section talking to the bondservant, talking to the employee. And he only gives a line and a half to the bosses. You masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening. Knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. He begins to address the employer, the master, the slave owner. And he says, look, do the same things that are expected of those who are in your control. Do those same things. Treat the people who work for you the same way that you are expecting to be treated. He's not saying to them, you have to go and obey them. Because if that's the case, you're going to have chaos in the workplace. Because if the boss is obeying the employee, and the employee is obeying the boss, somebody got to give. Somebody has to be there to carry out the role. But he says, treat them the same way. Be respectful. Demonstrate sincerity to them. Hold nothing back in support of those who work for you. Express loyalty to them. And treat them with goodwill. And quit threatening. There are some bosses, doesn't have to be guys, there are some really mean women bosses out there, that just get their kicks out of threatening those who are in their care. They just can't help themselves, it seems like. They're just going to pile it on. And Paul says, look, if you're a Christian and you're an employer, knock it off. You don't need to be threatening those who God has placed under you. Don't do it. And Paul reminds them, just in case they were forgetful. That, you know what? There is one who is greater than you. And it's one to whom we all must give an account. Pay attention. And finally, let me wrap this up. Again, Paul gives the counsel to employers, to employees. Jesus has given us a little oversight into some things. But he also taught us back in Matthew 6, one other thing that's really important. When the disciples asked him to teach him to pray. And Jesus gives the pattern prayer. He goes through it, and one of the elements of that pattern prayer is to give us this day our daily bread. And what he says to us in that little line in that prayer is to remember who it is who provides for us. Who it is that graciously feeds us. Who it is that ultimately is paying our light bill. Who it is who is ultimately providing us with health. Not just health care, health. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we're counting on you. We're depending upon you. You've blessed us with an opportunity to work. You've blessed us with an opportunity to have an employer, to have someone who has taken us into their care and given us the check. But we understand ultimately it comes from you. And if we can get that thought rooted within our own minds, when we look at our paycheck and we shake our head. I said, wait a minute. God is providing this to us. God is the one who is giving this to me. I've labored, but God is giving. God just happens to be using this company or this individual, this organization to make it so. Our thanks, our gratitude certainly is to the people that we serve, but ultimately and always is to God. Because that's where our faith is. Our faith is not in people. Our faith is in God. And He cares for us. Let's pray.